Now time for the hearing of God's Word, and so would you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 23. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, this is the word of the living and true God. His word is inerrant, infallible, and sufficient for us. So give your attention now to it. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is God's holy word. So the end of chapter 5, we heard last week, brought in the issue of the law. Where the law came in, the realization of the sin was so much greater. But the wonderful words that we heard were that sin, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And so the question comes in chapter 6. If that is true, that grace abounds all the more over sin, should we then sin so that grace would abound even more? And the Lord, through Paul, gives the strongest no in the New Testament. May it never be. The reason, if we are justified by faith, we have died to sin. Therefore, we cannot live in sin any longer. We cannot pursue sin. That's contrary to the Christian life. And so, verse 6, our old self was crucified in union with Christ. Why? So that our body of sin would be done away with. No longer slaves to sin, you have been made free, set free from it. So the question is then, why would you want to be slaves to sin still? and act like you're still slaves to sin. No, you're freed from it, so don't sin any longer. Pursue righteousness. And there's the picture here, the union with Christ that we've heard in Ephesians. Now we're hearing again in Romans. No longer united to Adam in sin and death, chapter 5, but by faith we are now united to Christ in His life and death and resurrection. That is, we die with Christ in His crucifixion. We rise with Christ in His resurrection. And so if we're united to Christ, we are united to His righteousness, we are united to His in His life, and so we are to be righteous, not unrighteous in our sin. And so again, recapping this union with Christ, if we have died with Christ, we live also with Him. If we've been raised, He has been raised from the dead, never to die again, to live always. So we who are justified by faith in Him are dead to sin in Him. As death no longer is master over Him, death no longer is master over us in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ. To say that death is master over us, to say that we should keep on sinning, is to negate the justification that has happened in and through Christ, and to deny the life that is already in us. To even sin, to pursue sin, is to deny the life that is already in us. And then He says, for the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. And the Lord says in the same way, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive in union with Christ to God. And the question then is, what do we do as believers then? What do we do as people who have been justified by faith? Do not let sin reign in you, in your mortal bodies. You are dead to sin and alive to God. Don't go on presenting your body to sin and unrighteousness, and therefore presenting your bodies as slaves to unrighteousness. Rather, present your bodies as alive and be instruments of righteousness to God. Sin shall not be master over you. If you've been justified, sin is not master over you any longer. But grace will master you. That is, not that the law is done away with, but that now in Christ you can actually obey the law. Where before you were justified, you could not obey the law. You could not be righteous. And so by His grace working through you, the Spirit of grace, as we're going to hear in Zechariah, the Spirit of grace working through you, you're no longer under the law where sin increases, but now it is unto righteousness. It is a law unto righteousness to you. But if grace is reigning in you, does that mean that you can go on sinning? And He goes again and He says, that's the same question. He says again, strongest no, may it never be. You're no longer slaves to sin. Now you are slaves to righteousness, having been freed from sin. So pursue sanctification. Pursue living righteously. Not in yourself. Sometimes we as Christians get that mixed up. We're Christians, we're supposed to pursue righteousness and obey the law. But we try to do so by our own strength, our own works. We can't do that. We will fail each time. And so we're not to do it in ourselves or in our own works. We do so, we pursue living righteously in and through Christ Jesus and His righteousness by His Spirit who is in us. So pursue sanctification in and through Christ. Why? Because the result in the end is eternal life. That's what Paul says at the end of the chapter here. If you pursue sin, that leads to death. But God's grace, the free gift, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So pursue righteousness. And that's our calling as Christians today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word here in Romans. We thank You that You have given us this great gift of faith. And if there are any here who do not have that gift, who have not been given that gift by You, they're the gift of grace by You, as we learn in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Father, we ask that You would grant the gift, that You would grant Your Spirit. You would take their hearts and change and mold them from their hearts from stone to flesh. Make them alive. Not hardened, not dead, not slaves to sin any longer, but new creatures in Christ. Slaves to righteousness. Justified. Father, only You can do this. Through Your Son, by Your Spirit. And so that's why we pray to you this day. And Father, we thank you for the great verse that we always, many of us remember, here at the end of the chapter that we read, for the wages of sin is death. What we earn is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we get that gift? It is through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us the gift of eternal life. For those who have believed, we know that, as we've heard in John's Gospel, we already have eternal life. It's guaranteed to us so much that the Lord says we already have it. And so, Father, we thank you for that comfort that we have of what we're looking forward to now on the Lord's Day, looking forward to that eternal rest to come. We pray that you would bless us and nourish our souls this day, that you would get that remaining sin and put it to death within us and cause us to live unto righteousness. Lord, we cannot do this ourselves. We cannot put to death the sin that remains. And so, Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us and cleanse us of all of our sin and unrighteousness. And put on us, clothe us with righteousness and good works. Only in your Son and by your Spirit and for your glory and for our good. So, Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers and bless us in Christ Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.